Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. When you arrive there, I want you to look at John chapter 8, looking for verse number 28. Girls, listen. Girls, hey, girls, look. Look up here. Have a seat. Now, a moment ago, someone told you you'd have to be quiet, and I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But right now, it's being quiet time, okay? All right. Thank you. Some of the rest of you better be listening to John chapter 8, verse number 28. Would you stand with me, please? John chapter 8, verse number 28. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The sermon is called, "And the Truth Shall Make You Free." It says, verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And here's the text verse, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice, it said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Just knowing the truth will not make you free, but knowing it and submitting to it will make you free. The sermon is called, "And the Truth Shall Make You Free." Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Give us a night where we get closer to you and we learn something. God, there are some who would find themselves struggling with the subject of the sermon tonight. And I hope somehow we'll make some clarification in their life. And to others, it might be a sermon of warning so that they'll be careful not to be sucked into the devil's lie about freedom. So, Father, tonight, take the sermon and use it to get glory to thyself. Holy Spirit, we need you to do the work. I just want to be a mouthpiece. But you could talk to the heart. Please do it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Remember, knowing the truth alone is not enough. There's a little bit more to it. We need to know what the truth is. And then if we want the freedom that the truth avails to us, we have to submit to that truth. I'm going to tell you a story. When our children, I got to thinking about this because of the bicycles that are out here at the Christmas tree. You know, we're gathering things to be used in the bus ministry next year. And we had on the Christmas tree for the bus ministry, those bulbs, and five or six of them talked about a bicycle. And I was looking at those bicycles, one of them, that orange one, I think that Hot Wheels one, I'm tempted to ride that one. Yeah, it's a pretty cool bicycle. I was looking at those bicycles, and I got to thinking about our children growing up. My oldest son, Jeffrey II, I hope will be here in a week or two and visit, and you'll get to see him and our I don't care about him and his wife, but the grandkids will be here. But I remember growing up, I remember when my oldest boy was learning to ride a bicycle. And, of course, he started out, and he had training wheels, and then the day came when we were going to take those training wheels off, and you know, I did the dad thing. I was walking behind him holding the seat, and he was pedaling, and the training wheels are now gone. He was pedaling along, and for the longest time, he thought he was riding by himself, and then he would look at me and realize I was holding him up, and he would say, "Let go," and I would, and he would fall over and crash. And his mother was fearful. You know, I never let her make him wear a helmet. No sensible dad makes his boy ride a helmet. It's so embarrassing to the kids in the neighborhood, even if you're four. But we got him to the point where we got those training wheels off and he was learning to ride the bike. But he learned, we had a pretty big driveway, and he learned to ride that bike in the driveway. He was 5 years of age. Now, our rule was, you can ride anywhere in the driveway you want, but you can't leave the driveway. Now, he was only 5 years of age. He just started learning how to ride. Now, you say, why? Well, there was a road that ran in front of our house, and there are cars that zoomed up and down it. The highway wasn't too far away. And I think if he got off the driveway, he stood the chance of being ran over by a car. And so I told him, I said, "Son, you have full freedom to ride anywhere in the driveway that you want. But you stay in the driveway." Well, why'd I do that? Because if I didn't want him to get hurt, I didn't want him to get killed. If he was safe, if he obeyed, and he stayed in that driveway, his freedom was in the driveway. That's where his freedom was. He could ride freely up and down the drive all that he wants. Let me tell you something, though. If he breaks the rule and he gets killed from riding in the street, he has not accomplished freedom. That wouldn't be freedom. On top of that, if he broke the rule that I set up, stay in the driveway, he would be disciplined. Now, if I disciplined him, it wasn't because I was trying to hurt him. I was trying to protect him. But I told him, I said, you have the freedom to ride your bike right there in the driveway. Now, you know something? Also, it was better for him that I disciplined him if he broke that rule. Why? Well, if you get crippled or you die, that's not a good thing. So it was smart for me, if I loved him, once I set up the rule, to discipline him if he broke the rule, thinking there was freedom outside that driveway when there really wasn't freedom outside that driveway. So this whole process, there was freedom on that driveway. Now, life's a little bit that way, folks. God has given you and I boundaries. He said, you stay inside those boundaries and you're free to do what you want inside those boundaries. But God said, don't step outside that boundary. Mankind says, what are you trying to keep from me, God? God said, well, I don't want you to get ran over by my truck. He said, well, trust me, God. No, God doesn't trust you. No sense in God turning things over to you. He knows what's best. And then there's sometimes you step outside the boundary, God may discipline you. Is that because God hates you? No, it's because God loves you. Because God knows what's best for you. Hey, did you know something? Do you know that in heaven, there will be perfect freedom? Perfect freedom. Heaven has rules. Heaven has rules. And they will be perfectly followed. But freedom is accomplished in heaven by the obedience to the rules. Just ask Lucifer how it turns out if you break the rules. Is hell freedom? Oh, no. Lucifer stepped outside the rules in heaven and was placed in captivity. Lucifer said, well, I don't like these boundaries that you've given me. God said, I know what boundaries are best. Freedom is found inside the boundaries that I set. Lucifer stepped outside the boundary and he paid the price. He might have thought, I want my freedom. You know how many young people say, I want my freedom. I don't like these rules. I don't like these guidelines. Let me out of here. You might want to be careful. What you think is freedom is not freedom, really, at all. Did you know law keepers are free? Law breakers get locked up. The lawbreaker says, I want my freedom. Freedom is not when you have handcuffs on and you're behind bars. You stay within the law to have freedom. You step outside the law, you give up your freedom. So I'm going to drive any speed I want. For a little while, you will. For a little while. Go ahead, express your freedom at 110 miles an hour in a 70 zone. You will lose your freedom soon. See, the only real way for a Christian to have freedom, you all don't like it when I get on that speed limit thing. I can preach on almost anything but the speed limit, yes? And they're all saying that's a heresy! Look, the only real way for Christians to have freedom is to obey the rules of God. Freedom is not the absence of rules. Freedom is recognizing the rules, staying within the rules so you're safe and you have all the freedom you need inside the realm of right. Outside the realm of right is captivity and it's not real freedom at all. Here's what Satan's goal is. And young people, teenagers, really listen to me. Listen to this. Satan's goal is to confuse and to trick you about what freedom is. Satan, he wants you confused about what freedom really is. God said, keep the rules and have freedom. Satan says, God's trying to take your freedom. Satan says to you, Break the rules. Get your freedom. God says, children, obey your parents. That's freedom. Satan says, sneak around behind mom and dad's back and get your freedom. Don't do what mom and dad says. They're trying to take your freedom. No, mom and dad are not trying to take your freedom. Mom and dad are trying to assure you of your freedom. Mom and dad's not trying to teach you something to take something good away from you. Mom and dad are trying to keep you away from the bad. So Satan comes along, and especially with young people, Satan is trying to convince them that the rules take freedom away. No, the rules provide freedom. I call the sermon, "And the Truth Shall Make You Free." I've got a different title. We could call it, "The Rules Shall Make You Free." The rules shall make you free. Listen, if you will. My son Jeff, when he rode his bicycle in the driveway, he was safe. I set those rules up for his security because I loved him. A five-year-old that goes out on a four-lane highway on a bike that he just learned to ride without the training wheels is in grave danger and most likely to be destroyed. It's not freedom to let that kid ride on the highway. That's danger. And some of us have to understand freedom includes rules. Freedom's not the absence of rules. Now, stay with me. Let me break this logic down just a little bit for you, if I may. Number one, there will always be rules. There will always be rules. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word is man's rule book. Yeah. And here it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In other words, the rule book is settled in heaven. And it says, forever. God always has had rules. God has rules right now. There always will be rules. So, don't get confused about freedom. Freedom is not the absence of rules. Freedom is the presence of rules and staying within the rules where you can roam freely. And God said, there always will be rules. The existence of God's rules are settled forever, and God's guidelines are forever guidelines. Getting away from church, folks, does not change God's rules. You can't get away from God's rules. Did you know this? If you don't come to church, your absence does not change the existence of the expectation regarding the rules you're supposed to follow. Well, I just won't go to church, so I don't have to live right. No, you're very wrong. You're not coming to church does not change the existence of the rules. Somebody in this room will make this decision. I'll go to a softer church. I'll go to one where the pastor's not always reminding us of the rules. A liberal church. A weak church. A church with the pastor that has his tail between his legs. He cowers and sniffles and whines all the time. You can find them. You can find them. But I got to tell you this. Even if you attend a liberal church, it does not eliminate the rules. They're still here. You can ignore them. They're still here. You can avoid them. They're still here. God's not dead. The Bible's still true. There will always be rules. You can avoid me. God still has rules. You can avoid the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. God still has rules. You say, well, I don't believe God's rules. Hate to tell you this. Doesn't change it a lick. Your disbelief in God's rule does not delete God's rule from the rule book. God wasn't looking to you and your obedience to qualify the importance of His rules. He already wrote the rules. They're already written down. They're not going to change. You can't get rid of them. They're forever settled. Go ahead and accept it. There will always be rules. Your disbelief does not change the rule. You say, well, I'll go to a different church where they don't talk about that rule. Yeah, but the rule's still here. It's still here. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, the rule's still here. It's still in the Bible. You can't get away from the rules. You can ignore them, but they still apply, even to you. You say, well, I won't be a member of this church. I'll go to a church that doesn't have that rule. Well, if the rule's in the Bible, you can join every church in town if you want to. It doesn't change the fact you're responsible for the rule. accept it. There will always be rules. Just get used to it. Disobeying the rules will not give you freedom. It's going to really produce captivity in your life. Teens say, I can't wait to leave home where I can have freedom. Young people, you're going to find out very, very quickly there's not as much freedom out here in the big bad adult world as what you think. Matter of fact, I would say every adult here wouldn't mind being back home with mom and dad and let somebody else feed you and somebody else clothe you and somebody else pay for the heat, somebody else pay for the gasoline, let somebody else take care of all the duties. Hey, I'd like to have my captivity back. I'm 56 years of age and it's getting pretty lonely and I about had it with all this freedom. You agree, adults? Wouldn't it be simple if somebody else was taking care of all the responsibility? Young people, enjoy your captivity. But teens say, I'll get out of here so I don't have the rules. And I say this every once in a while just because I get so tickled with it. I can't tell you how many young men have said to me, I can't wait till I'm 18. I'm sick of these rules with my mom and dad. I'm joining the Marines. Sucker, they see you coming. Rules are everywhere. You say, I'll go out and live on the street. Let me tell you something. The street rules are far harsher than God's rules. They'll cut your throat. You'll do what they demand. They'll scare you. They'll cut you. They'll shoot you. They'll steal from you. They'll take you for everything you're worth. You say, I'll go out on the street. I'll go out there where there's no rules. Oh, you're wrong. There's rules on the street. You say, I'm going to quit my job. And I'll find me a job that doesn't have rules. Those don't exist. They don't exist. Well, I can't wait to get out of school. I'll go to another school. Let me tell you something. All schools have rules. I'm going to get out of this marriage. I'll go find a marriage where there won't be any rules. I'm sorry. Nobody's looking for a mate with no rules. Doesn't exist. So, there will always be rules. Number two, disobeying the rules actually blinds us from seeing that it is obeying the rules, that's where we get our freedom. See, when you're disobeying the rules, there's a blinding that happens. And you don't recognize in your disobedience that it was obedience that actually produced freedom. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, it says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Listen, disobedience, it's blinding. When you and I are in disobedience to God's rules, it's almost like putting a bag over your head and letting the devil lead you around. We're blind. I say, scripturally, I say, some of you need to get rid of your bad friends. You say, I don't see anything wrong with them. That word, see. Because you're disobedient, you don't see anything wrong with him. Because disobedience is blinding. Disobedience is blinding. I say, get rid of the bad music in your life. You say, I don't see anything wrong with it. Right, you don't see it. Doesn't change the rule because you're doing the wrong thing, but you don't see it. But you know what? Just because you don't see it, because you're disobedient to it, doesn't change the rule. The rule still exists. But disobedience is very blinding. I say, turn off the wickedness on the television. You say, I don't see anything wrong with it. Right, you don't see it, but it's still there. I say, girls, get rid of your immodest clothes. You say, I don't see anything wrong with it. Yeah, you don't see it. When we disobey the rules, we're blinded by the devil. We're blinded by our involvement in the wrong. Satan leads us to believe that when we disobey God's rules, we're free because we've made our own choice. I'm my own man, folks. Being your own man and making your own choice is the pathway to captivity. When every man does that, which is right in his own eyes, it creates anarchy. See, When we disobey rules, we may think we're free, but we're not. We're really prisoners to the devil who has blinded us to the truth and the real freedom. Let me give you a for instance. A drug addict is getting high. They think they're free. But they're hooked. They're hooked. Are they really free? No, they're captive. They're addicted to the drug. But you go to them and they're partying and getting high with their friends and everything, and everybody's giving the impression, this is freedom. We're free. Yee-haw! Yay, we're free. They're destroying their life. They're spending all their money. They're destroying their marriage. They're destroying their relationships. They're losing their jobs. They're ruining their body, and that's freedom? Okay, you help them to get off the drugs. And then they say, why didn't I see that a long time ago? What was wrong with me? What was I thinking? Well, what they were thinking is disobedience produces blindness to the captivity that disobedience produces. You know what they say about alcoholics? Hardest thing in the world to get them to do is to admit that they have a problem. Because they say, I can stop any time, but I don't. You just keep putting them down. I can stop any time, but they don't. What's wrong? They're blind to what they're causing themselves. But you sober them up, they look at it and say, what was I thinking? Why couldn't I see? Disobedience blinds us to captivity. We think we're free when we're actually in captivity. So, realize this. There will always be rules. And those, when we break the rules, we're blinding ourselves to what captivity we put ourselves in by disobeying the rules. Now let me go to number three. Number three is this. Real freedom comes when we obey the rules. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what's right, and you do right, then you find freedom. Some of you remember when we were raising the money to buy this building, my employer from years and years ago wrote us a $50,000 check and sent it to our church and said, let me help you buy that building. I'll tell you a story. I worked for that man, and he's a very dear friend of mine. But I was his employer. I went to work for him. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I went in, put in an application, and he took a chance, and he hired me. At the shop where I worked, I was a machinist. I ran lathes. I ran mills. There were a lot of rules. The men that worked in the shop, they didn't like the rules. Matter of fact, many of them didn't follow the rules. You know what I tried to do? I just tried to follow the rules. I mean, exactly the way the boss wanted me to follow the rules. There were some rules that he had at that shop. I did not understand the rules, but he had the rules. And he had the company's best interest in mind, and whether I believed it or not, he had my best interest in mind. And he was the owner of the company, and he said, do this. And I said, okay, if you want me to do that, that's what I'll do. And he said, don't do that. And I said, okay, if you don't want me to do that. And some of it didn't make sense. And other people said it didn't make sense, and I'm not going to do it, just like some of you do with God. You say, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do it. Well, let me tell you something. God runs the joint. God runs everything. He's got your best interest in mind. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for him. He knows what's best for the church. He's the one that created you. He created your family. He created your body. Believe me, he knows what he's doing. But you say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. The rule's still there. And when you disobey, you blind yourself to how you're affecting yourself. But my boss had all these rules. I tried to follow him. I had guys in the shop that would say, I can't believe you're miserable. Come in here and you do you're like the boss's slave. Well, whatever you want to call it. You know, I worked for that man for many years. Let me tell you how it developed. I followed the rules. Lots of rules. I stayed within the guidelines of the rules. I had freedom right there inside those rules. My boss said, do whatever you want inside the fence of these rules? Well, he came to me after I'd been employed for some months, and he said, you know, Jeff, he said, you're going to Bible college. You probably need a few bucks extra here and there. He said, because you do what I tell you, how about we do this? You can work all the hours you want. Well, I got paid by the hour. You tell a man like me, you can work all the hours you want. He said, you work all the hours you want. You need 10 extra hours? Put it in. 20. He said, don't worry. Don't worry about, you just work all the hours you want. Now, there were guys that used to look at me and say, boy, you just have yourself keeping all these rules, and you're so strict about it. Do you know what happened? Keeping the rules got me freedom. All the hours you want. You know what? When I was in Bible college, one time I was very concerned about getting my paycheck on time, and they had not put the paychecks out. So I went to the office and I said, are you going to put the paychecks out before the office crew goes home? And the secretary, she said, well, why? I said, my school bill is due and I've got to pay it, or I've got to set out of classes tomorrow, because if you don't pay your bill, you can't go to classes. She said, we're going to get them out. My boss was listening. He said, Jeff, you need to borrow money? I said, no, sir. And he looked at me and he said, Jeff, if there's ever a time you need money, you come see me. I'll lend you anything you need. There's pretty good freedom in that. When somebody's got a great big fat checkbook, says, I'll lend you whatever you need. By the way, he also says, work all the hours you want. You can make all the money you want. Now, I had all these other guys in the shop. They were their own men. They weren't going to follow those rules. Those rules didn't make sense to them. You know what the boss ended up telling me? He said, Jeff, you come and go as you want. You can clock in when you want. You can clock out when you want. You need a two-hour lunch break, go ahead and take a two-hour lunch break. He said, that'd be fine. He said, I can provide you with a key to get you in and out of the company. Huh? That's just a stupid rule follower. Just the ignoramus that was following the rules. So buckled down. I mean, it was so bad that he had such control. Following the rules produced a freedom. Let me tell y'all something. I feel free in Christ Jesus. You say, what? As strict as you are? Those rules don't choke me. Those rules make my life wonderful. You're missing it. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. Hey, look, you're going to have rules wherever you go. I've got the one that understands justice and real freedom that's made my rules. I just live within the confines of His rules, and life's much smoother. I'm going to tell you, when you step outside God's rules and you mess up your life and you start finding the tragedy and the heartache and everything is falling apart because you stepped outside the rules, stop and realize, had you stayed inside the rule, you would have had freedom. So, remember, the Bible said, and the truth shall make you free. There will always be rules. When we disobey rules, we tend to blind ourselves that it is obedience to rules that gives us true freedom. Then, real freedom comes when we obey the rules. I have one more point, and I'll be done, but listen carefully. God's rules are rules of love. God's rules are rules of love. The rule that I had for my son about riding his bicycle in our driveway only, that was because I loved him. I loved him. You know something? God loves you as His child more than I loved my son Jeff. God's rules are to keep you safe. God's rules are because He loves you. The rules are not to keep you from good things. The rules are to keep you from bad things. Young people, you may think that Brother Elswick, the youth director, and Brother Owens, the pastor, and Brother Edwards, the teen choir director, and your mom and dad, we all had a secret private meeting. And we all said, let's see how many rules and things we can come up with to make the young people miserable. Okay, parents, let's see how many things. Let's get as many rules as we can. Let's take away. Let's take away all their fun. Oh, no. The rules were because we love you and we know things and see things that you don't see. And the rules are not to keep you from good. The rules are to keep you from bad. The rules are not to keep fun from you. The rules are to keep you from harming yourself. And folks, when you look at the Bible and the rules, if you will, of the Bible, that is from a loving God that said, I know more about life and I know more about tragedy. I know more about the devil and I know more about temptation and I know more about sin than everybody put together. I tell you to do something, even if you don't understand it, stay within the rules, run free, have a good time inside the rules. But when you step outside the rule, watch out, tragedy's coming. And God said, I do that because I love you. Churches, youth directors that don't have rules, Brother Elswick, they don't love their teenagers like you do. Christian schools that don't have rules like they ought to, don't love their students like they ought to. So I want them to have their freedom. You better let them have freedom within right, not outside where there's wrong. A pastor that won't preach standards and convictions and the rules, he's not loving like he's supposed to love. He said, well, I want my people to live in freedom. Freedom is inside the rules. Those rules are there to protect us from tragedy. The rules are like a fence of protection. They're to protect your freedom, not to steal your freedom. Rules add to your freedom. They don't take away from your freedom. See, the only way to have freedom is to obey the rules. I had a church member, and I remember this very well because I ended up paying the bill to help someone. They had a puppy, one of the cutest puppies you ever seen. Puppy was white and fluffy. You say, what kind of a dog was it? I don't know. It looked kind of like a hairy marshmallow with legs. That's all I can tell you. But when I would go by their house, they had a fence, and it was a very tight fence because it was a little puppy. There was this puppy that would run up and down that fence, and, you know, different dogs bark different ways. But when a dog goes, eeby, 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 that's kind of half mouse, half dog. But their little hairy marshmallow with legs, it went, eeby, eeby, eeby. And that little dog, I would come over, and that dog would run up and down the fence, and that dog would almost throw itself up against the fence trying to get out. Now, across the street, there were some people, and I think it was a drug house. It looked like a drug house. There's a big pit bull. Now, I watched that little fluffy marshmallow try and try and try to get outside the fence. And you know, I would go to open the gate, and that little rascal, he'd try to run out, and more than one time I'd reach down and grab him and put him back in. You know what? You know what he was saying? Eeby, eeby, eeby. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. I'll never forget it. The lady called my house. No, she called the church office. She called my church office, and she was devastated. She called, and I can't remember the little critter's name. Squeaky, yeah, Squeaky Marshmallow or something. But this woman was bawling her eyes out, and she said, Brother Owens, my dog got out, and the dog across the street mauled my puppy. That dog that was white was covered in blood like a sock. That big old pit bull had tore into that little dog. They didn't have the money to help their dog. Mrs. Owens and I actually got money together so that they, you know, surgery on a dog can be more expensive than surgery on your kids. But at least you can house train a dog. But we helped. We helped to get this little puppy fixed up. They were devastated. Let me explain it to you. Some of you young people, right now. You're that little, fluffy, white dog. Evie, Evie, let me out. Let me out. I don't like my mom's rules. I don't like my dad's rules. I don't like what the youth director teaches me. I don't like the strictness of our church. We got this pastor, and he's got these rules, and he means it. I don't mind a pastor that talks about it but doesn't mean it.
He can huff and puff about all the rules, but this one means it. It's real. Evie, let me out. Well, I've got news for you, young people. There's a pit bull called the devil, and he hates your guts. And somebody's trying to protect you and give you some rules to keep you safe. And that little fluffy dog, it didn't know. It didn't know what was out there, and it didn't know what could happen. Boy, somebody somehow opened that gate, and that little fluffy dog took off, and he said, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." And the next thing you know, he comes dragging back in a pit bull's mouth, covered with blood, and everybody thinks, "Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Is the dog going to live? What happened?" The devil convinced somebody that freedom was outside the rules. Young people, freedom is inside the rules. Inside the rules. God's not trying to take fun from us. God's trying to give us fun. Mom and Dad are not trying to take fun from you. They're trying to make sure you have fun. So I don't like these rules about morality. Let me explain something to you, young man and young lady. The minute you get somebody pregnant outside of wedlock, or you end up pregnant outside of wedlock, the fun comes to a screeching halt. Oh, my freedom! That freedom will break your mom's heart and break your dad's heart and destroy your body and mess up your relationships in life and destroy friendships and humiliate and destroy and it's terrible. The rule is to help you, not to hurt you. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I could call the sermon, "The Rules Shall Make You Free." The devil is trying to mess us up about freedom. He's trying to convince us that freedom is outside the fence. No, freedom is inside the fence. And folks, there will always be a fence. There'll never be an eternity, any time, where there's not a fence. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I really wish some of you young people, I wish some of you would realize, as you're rebelling against your upbringing, as you rebel against the standards, as you rebel against some of the separation, your mom and dad say, "You better be careful around that friend." You say, "Well, my mom's trying to take my friend away." It may be that God and your mom are trying to protect you from a friend that could harm you. Some of you adults, "Now I want my freedom." Listen, freedom is inside the confines of the guidelines of Jesus Christ. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I've learned something tonight. I think God's helped me to see something a little more clearly. I know I found something in what was said tonight that's going to help me." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I believe there are some young people in here that need to take it very deeply to heart. You may put those hands down. We'll have an altar call. If you need the altar, you come. Some of you, whether you're adult, whether you're a child, whoever you are, you might need to come and spend a moment on your knees and say, "God, help me. Help me to stay inside the safety of the rules that God and parents and employers have set up in my life." I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, do you need the altar? Children, do you need the altar? Do you need to obey mom and dad and realize mom and dad are trying to protect you? Teenager, do you need to come and say, "God, I'm sorry. I kind of fought against mom and dad's rules, and I fought against what Brother Elswick is preaching. I fought against what my Sunday school teachers have been teaching me. I fought against it." You're endangering yourself. Those rules will keep you safe. Those rules will protect you. Freedom is not the absence of rules. Freedom is submission to the rule and living within the fence or the protection of the rules that God sets up.
Moms and dads, don't get sucked into this liberal philosophy of our day. They say, well, just let your kids express themselves any way they want. No, you should continue to require your children to show respect. You should continue to require your children to be obedient. You should continue to require that your children obey. Say, no, let them. Dr. Spock has destroyed a generation of children through his terrible child-rearing philosophies. Let them express themselves. Don't correct them. No, it is the rules that will help them to turn out right. You say, but I tried and they won't follow. Well, why don't you just go all the way to the grave trying? Don't pull the fence down. If you need the altar, it's still open. And again, there are young and old Christians alike. You're like that little white fluffy puppy dog. You're saying, get me out, get me out, get me out, get me out. Let me tell you something. There's a pit bull waiting out there. He'll show no mercy. He'll take you down. He'll bloody you. And while you're blind to what's on the outside of the fence, you'd be better off playing safely inside the fence where God can protect you. This is the last time through the song. Look at me for just a second. I want to make one little application for you. I worked in a machine shop, and I worked around a machine that's called a mill. Had a great big huge cutter. It was about this big around, and the barbs on it were huge, made of carbide. And I'm talking about it when it would cut steel, and that's how sharp it was. There's a young man that worked in the shop. His name was Pat. The boss's rule was no long-sleeved shirts are to be wore in the shop. I remember the day that Pat said, they're not going to tell me what I can wear. And listen to me, those of you that don't like what your pastor believes about dressing properly. Nobody's going to tell me what I ought to wear and what I'm going to wear at work. I remember the day that Pat came in and Pat had on a long-sleeved flannel shirt. Well, he started the mill. Wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. The drive on the mill grabbed a hold of his long-sleeved shirt. Began to pull him into the mill. Pat was huge. He's about 6'7", big, strong country boy. I heard him screaming, "It's pulling me in! It's pulling me in! It's cutting me! It's cutting me!" He was able to rip the shirt off, but not until the mill had cut him all the way up one arm across his back and had 167 stitches, almost bled to death. Because somebody that loved him said, here's the rule about being appropriate with the dress. He didn't understand it. He didn't like it. Somebody was being way too strict. You know something? Pat lived. And he never wore a long sleeve shirt in the shop again. But you should have seen the scars that revealed as he was now dressing right. The rules are there to help, not hurt. They're there to help. The rules will keep you safe. That's the way the Christian life is to be lived.